This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
The headlines: the Yemeni army says it has warned off a vessel to prevent looting of the country's oil. The U.S. House Committee subpoenas former President Donald Trump to testify on his role in the violence during the 2021 Capitol riot. Plus, the European Union says it is witnessing an acceleration in tensions with China. Thank you for joining us. My name is Gisum Shahmadi, and these are our top stories of this hour. Yemen's army says it has carried out a drone attack on the southern oil port to warn the Saudi-led coalition against plundering the country's resources. The army spokesman said that he called the basic warning strike. It was aimed at preventing a tanker from looting Yemeni crude through an oil terminal in the province. Yahya Sari said that the vessel violated a ban on the transfer and export of Yemeni oil products. He also vowed more such strikes to prevent the plunder of the country's oil wealth. This is the first such incident since a UN-brokered truce between Yemen's Ansarullah resistance movement and the Saudi-led coalition came to an end earlier this month. The coalition launched a devastating war on Yemen in 2015. Hamza Karim is a Yemeni activist and political commentator. He earlier gave us a background to the Yemeni army's attack.
For the past 6 years, Saudi Arabia and UAE has been selling Yemen's oil and crude oil. And in return, all the revenue is going to Al Ahli Bank in Saudi Arabia. While Yemen and Yemeni people are going through the worst humanitarian crisis in the past 100 years, according to the UN, people haven't been paid their salaries for the past 6 years. And so today what happened is that the authorities in Sana'a, actually a week ago, right after the truce ended, they sent a clear message to the shipping companies that are shipping the oil from the oil terminals in Yemen to countries that are buying the oil. And they warned them that this is not a legal act, as the benefits of the oil and the return is not really going back to the Yemen and Yemeni people. And they want them not to do that. But as we saw today, one of the companies actually sent its oil vessels. They tried to loot Yemen's oil, and a clear warning signal was sent from the authorities in Sana'a that after today, Yemen's oil should go or should benefit directly Yemeni people.
Syria says it has intercepted another Israeli missile attack over Damascus shortly after reports of explosions in the airspace of the capital city. The Syrian Defense Ministry says that the missiles were targeted at areas in the vicinity of Damascus. It says air defenses shot down most of those missiles, adding that the attack caused limited material damage. Now, that is the first such air raids in more than a month. Israel has carried out hundreds of strikes against Syria, targeting government troops as well as allied forces. One of the latest such attacks hit around the capital, Damascus, in September, killing 5 army soldiers. A funeral has been held for a 19-year-old boy who lost his life during an Israeli raid in the occupied West Bank city of Jenin.
Jenin!
The mourners condemned the Israeli crimes and called for justice. Salah Bariki died after being shot in the neck as Israeli forces stormed the Jenin refugee camp hours ago on Friday. Another Palestinian was also wounded during this raid. The reaction, the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas stressed that the raids will not undermine the Palestinians' determination to liberate their land. Hamas also pledged that it will not let the Palestinians' blood to be spilled in vain. For months, the Israeli military has been conducting a brutal campaign to quash the growing resistance in Jenin, killing dozens of Palestinians during its raid. The latest victim brings to 124 the number of Palestinians killed by Israeli forces in the occupied West Bank. Palestinians in the blockaded Gaza Strip held a big rally to support Al-Quds and Al-Aqsa Mosque amid the increasing Israeli violence. Israeli regime has recently been escalating such violations amid the silence of the international community, Ashraf Shannon reports.
People from all walks of life rallied in the Gaza Strip following the Friday prayer in solidarity with Al-Quds and Al-Aqsa Mosque. Protesters shouted slogans decrying the Israeli crimes in Al-Quds and in the occupied West Bank. In recent days, extremist Jewish settlers, backed by Israeli forces, have been violating the sanctity of Al-Aqsa Mosque compound in Al-Quds. Israeli attacks usually increase during Jewish holidays. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas, which organized the rally, warned the Tel Aviv regime against crossing the red lines at Al-Aqsa Mosque compound.
Armed resistance is the only choice for Palestinians to fight the occupation. The Zionist enemy is playing with fire by attacking Al-Aqsa Mosque. The Palestinian resistance in the occupied West Bank and Al-Quds is growing stronger. The Zionists are adding fuel to the fire, and it may only burn them.
Protesters in the Gaza Strip vowed to step up their support for Al-Quds until the end of all the Israeli violations in the Holy City. They also reiterated their adherence to resistance as the best way to defend Al-Quds.
We call on all Muslims to defend Al-Aqsa Mosque because it belongs to all Muslims. We call on our brothers and sisters in the occupied West Bank and Al-Quds to increase armed resistance against the Zionist enemy. The whole world must understand that we are willing to sacrifice our lives for the sake of the Al-Aqsa Mosque.
Al-Aqsa Mosque is Islam's third holiest site and has been under Israeli occupation since 1967, while Palestinians consider Al-Quds as the capital of their future state.
We are here today to condemn the continued Israeli attacks against our people in the occupied West Bank and Al-Quds. The Palestinians are fighting for a just cause, and they will continue to fight until they regain their freedom.
Palestinians maintain that continued Israeli infringements upon Al-Aqsa Mosque will only increase the resistance against the occupation.
Observers say the international community has failed to help Palestinians in Al-Quds while turning a blind eye to Israeli violations against them for decades. Ashraf Shanan, Gaza.
U.S. lawmakers probing last year's attack on the Capitol have ordered former President Donald Trump to testify on his involvement in the riots. The subpoena also requires Trump to turn over related documents. The committee panel voted unanimously last week to issue the order. Trump has previously dismissed the subpoena, questioning the committee's long delay in asking him to testify. Lawmakers say that they will take the necessary steps to enforce the law. Meanwhile, the top Trump aide, Steve Bannon, was also found guilty. He refused to testify under investigation. He was sentenced to 4 months in jail and fined $6,500. The congressional probe into the attack on the Capitol is looking into Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 elections despite knowing that he had lost the vote. Leaders of the European Union have expressed their increasing concern about the economic dependency on China despite a lacking of unified stance.
The discussion showed that we are witnessing quite an acceleration of trends and tensions. It was very clear from the Congress that we've seen that President Xi is continuing to reinforcing the very assertive and self-reliant course China has taken.
Xi found Beijing is continuing its mission to establish its dominance in East Asia and its influence globally. She also warned of the close ties between China and Russia amid the war in Ukraine. Von der Leyen noted that the EU has learned its lesson after the chaos caused by its reliance on Russian energy and urged EU leaders to stay vigilant about their reliance on China. Meanwhile, EU leaders are seeking to avoid outright confrontation with Beijing.
We also think that we need to be able to engage with China on global issues. Climate change, health are obvious examples that illustrate that. On these subjects, we want to engage with China. It's therefore a debate that showed a very clear desire not to be naive, but also not to be in a logic of systematic confrontation.
Michel said the EU is seeking a balance in economic relations with China. The French President Emmanuel Macron also said that the bloc needs to rethink its trade dialogue with China. Macron called for a more even playing field between the two commercial powerhouses. German Chancellor Olaf Scholz has said that the government delegation will visit China next month. The leaders made the remarks during talks held in Brussels, where they discussed many other issues, including the offering of more aid to Ukraine. The EU has struggled to fashion a cohesive stance towards Russia because of differing economic interests of its members. Next to Italy, where far-right leader Giorgia Meloni has been appointed as the country's first female prime minister, Meloni received a mandate to form the new government from the Italian president on Friday. The incoming prime minister also already announced her cabinet picks. She is set to be sworn into office on Saturday. Meloni's Brothers of Italy is leading the far-right coalition after winning the parliamentary elections nearly a month ago. Her government is pitted against major economic challenges, including high inflation and rising energy bills. Italy, as well as the Eurozone's third-largest economy, along with much of Europe, is struggling with the soaring energy costs, and this is partly due to the ongoing war in Ukraine. Conservative British lawmakers are declaring to who they are backing to become the next party leader, and Liz Truss, actually after resigning, has left up the position for grabs. So far, former Prime Minister Boris Johnson and his former Finance Minister Rishi Sunak are leading the race, with the most backing from the MPs. Many British politicians doubt that Johnson will receive the 100 nominations that he needs from lawmakers to run for the position. They are citing a lack of confidence in Johnson, as well as recent partnerships with the belated will be handled and allegations of misconduct. Many Penny Mordaunt, who is popular with people, also said that it's only one formally declared candidacy for the Tory leadership. Liz Truss quit on Thursday after only 6 weeks in office. There were growing calls for her to resign over a host of issues. A new survey has found that millions of households in Britain are skipping meals to make ends meet. The findings show that inflation returns to a 40-year high after food prices soar. Said Purisal revolves.
It's been just a few weeks since the now resigned Prime Minister, Liz Truss, promised low taxes and high growth. Events have moved incredibly fast in Westminster that a new finance minister is now raising taxes and promising public sector cuts. The U-turns and counter-U-turns have come with a cost for the economy and the people. A new study has found that millions of households are skipping meals or struggling to put healthy foods on the table. Inflation is already at more than 10%. Energy and fuel prices are on the rise, putting a squeeze on Britain's finances.
Well, the start of all this is Brexit. Brexit led to Boris and incompetence. It led to falling living standards. It led to Liz Truss and further incompetence. And Britain basically voted to become poorer by leaving the EU. You can blame some of it on money printing at the Bank of England, inflation taking out, you know, and lowering living standards as well. So it's a combination of things.
A combination of things that have toppled two prime ministers in the span of 1 year.
It's been less than 2 months since Boris Johnson gave way to Liz Truss as prime minister, followed by the death of the Queen and a dramatic change in the country's economic outlook. And now, yet another leadership contest that could trigger even more economic and political instability.
And more instability means more people relying on charities, from food banks to keep their stomachs full, and warm rooms where those unable to heat their homes can take refuge in the cold months of winter. The new chancellor has curbed Liz Truss's flagship economic plan of a 2-year cap on energy bills to April next year. And at the end of this month, he's expected to announce a midterm economic policy that could spell out the beginning of another prolonged period of austerity.
Whoever takes over, Boris, Rishi, Mordaunt, who knows? But the outlook continues to be bad because inflation is still out of control. There's not the money or the government finances to give the public sector further wage rises to match that inflation. Strikes will continue. The fiscal position of the country remains dire, partly because we have a smaller economy because of Brexit. So there's no easy solution. There's no easy way out of this. The hole has been dug and it's very deep and very difficult to climb out of.
Paying the price of that, ordinary Britons, as the Conservative Party races to choose its third leader and prime minister in 1 year, urgent help to those in need couldn't come any sooner. Saipur is up, London.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of World News.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
in the limelight.
Despite the new government taking office in the United Kingdom, the economic conditions in this country have not improved, but have also worsened. Most people in this country are struggling with huge increases in energy prices and the cost of living. The very dire economic conditions have forced people to do things they don't want to do. They have been forced to reduce or even forgo their daily meals, and in order to feed their children, they should get help from food banks. Also, figures showed reports of energy theft have increased as Britons face rising electricity and gas bills. We have taken a look at some of the world media's coverage of this issue. Please stay with us. British newspaper The Independent has more. Economists warn Britain's economy is expected to shrink around 0.2% each quarter from October through to June of next year. The EY Item Club predicted in its autumn forecast this prolonged economic decline will result in a 0.3% fall in gross domestic product or GDP for 2023 as a whole. The Economic Forecasting Group has significantly downgraded its previous summer forecast, which estimated the economy would grow by 1% in 2023. A combination of high energy prices, surging inflation, rising interest rates, and global economic weakness have driven up the likelihood that the British economy will face a recession until the middle of next year. And as an economy enters a technical recession, given its GDP falls for two or more consecutive quarters. The government intervened in early September to put a ceiling on energy bills at £2,500 a year for the typical household, and has since pledged to cover a proportion of rocketing electricity costs for businesses as well. The move is supposedly set to ease the pressure on household incomes and prevent the collapse of businesses that would otherwise be unable to afford the mounting bills. Furthermore, EY said, once high inflation eases, the weaker pound boosts exports and the Bank of England's interest rate hikes end. Gross domestic product or GDP should return to growth in the second half of 2023. The economy is then expected to expand 2.4% in 2024 and 2.3% in 2025. But the group warned that there is a risk that growth could be dragged down by further economic shocks. Figures showed reports of energy theft have soared as Britons face rising bills for electricity and gas. With the cost of living crisis mounting, the number of reports made to the Crime Stoppers charity has almost trebled since 2017-2018, with a rise of more than 20% in just the past 6 months. The chair of an influential select committee of MPs warned the increase shows the desperation of households hit by rocketing electricity and gas prices. Electricity theft, which pushes up bills for customers, carries a maximum prison sentence of 5 years, while gas theft is also illegal. Crime Stoppers figures show 8,289 reports of energy theft in the United Kingdom in the year to the end of July, a rise from 2,876 reports in the 12 months ending July of 2018. In the 6 months to the end of July, there were 4,559 energy theft reports to Crime Stoppers in the United Kingdom, up from 3,730 in the 6 months before that, representing a 22% increase when comparing the two periods. Crime Stoppers is contracted by the non-profit Retail Energy Code Company to run the energy theft tip-off service, allowing people to anonymously make reports. The Retail Energy Code Company, or RECO's website explains, Crime Stoppers securely notify the tip-off to the relevant gas or electricity supplier for investigation. Additionally, energy fraud reports to trade body UK Revenue Protection Association increased by 54% in just 6 months, from 717 cases in six-month period from July to December of 2021 up to 1,104 cases from January to June of this year. While police forces in England and Wales received nearly 3,600 reports of dishonest use of electricity in the year to March, up 13% year on year. The British newspaper The Guardian covers the same story from a different angle. New data showed millions of British people were forced to skip meals or go a whole day without eating in recent months. The Food Foundation charity said as the UK's cost of living crisis deepened, nearly one in five low-income families experienced food insecurity in September, meaning more people went hungry than during the chaotic first weeks of the COVID lockdown. According to the Foundation's latest tracker, hunger levels have more than doubled since January, with nearly 10 million adults and 4 million children unable to eat regular meals last month, prompting calls for stronger measures to protect vulnerable households. These included demands for free school meals to be made available to an extra 800,000 children amid reports of hungry school kids stealing food from classmates, skipping lunch because they could not afford school meals, or bringing in packed lunches containing just a single slice of bread. Campaigners also condemned the government's refusal to rule out real-term cuts to benefits, which it is estimated would leave already struggling families hundreds of pounds a year worse off. The Foundation's tracker found more than half of universal credit claimants were struggling to get the food they needed. The leading public health expert, Sir Michael Marmot, called the rise in hunger alarming and said it would have damaging health consequences for society's worst off, including increased occurrences of stress, mental illness, obesity, diabetes and heart disease. A separate survey of primary schools by chefs in schools found half were providing a free meal for children in poverty who were ineligible for free school meals. Over two-thirds were referring parents to food banks, and just under 50% were offering food parcels for families themselves. The charity's chief executive, Naomi Duncan, said, "This research reveals the shocking reality that teachers see on a daily basis." Naomi Duncan added, "The situation is appalling and getting so much worse. We call on the government to urgently extend eligibility for free school meals to all families receiving universal credit so that support reaches the kids who need it most." The growth in food insecurity has accompanied the shrinking spending power of low-income families because by static wages and benefit cuts in recent years. Faced with heat or eat choices, they have often opted to rein in food spending, although the recent squeeze has left some households too poor to afford either. Food insecurity is a relatively new formal metric designed to gauge the numbers of people who struggle to get the food they need because of lack of money or access. It has been formally adopted by the UK Food Standards Agency, which warned in June that increasing poverty meant food insecurity was escalating rapidly. Since January, rising food and energy bills coupled with the removal of COVID support has precipitated a sharp rise in hunger in Britain. More than two-thirds of food insecure families said they cooked less or turned off fridges to cut energy costs.
reality. Back to reality. Back to reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners of Arab English Radio, welcome to another episode of Back to Reality. Well, I am Asma, your humble host. This is another time that I have the honor to be your humble host. Here with me, I have two very dear guests.
Assalamu alaikum. I am Bita, and you know, I'm really honored with this pleasure to be here at your service. I am a medical student in Iran. Yeah.
And Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, dear friends. I'm Zainab Sadat, and it's quite a pleasure to be here today. Mm-hmm. I have my MA in TFL, teaching English as a foreign language.
Well, guys, there is this topic which is very much interesting. And ever since we're children, we're so much attracted to know more about it. When we are kiddos, we think that all those people who talk about the future, who can tell the future, actually are magicians. Mm-hmm. And as we grow older, we start to learn that it's not just about magic, it's more than that. There are people, they could just talk about things that have never happened, and there are yet years for them to happen. But still, there are people who have the ability, who could talk about those issues and tell you about the things that would happen to you in the future, which is very much interesting. And everyone comes to you. But those people who could read the palms, mm-hmm. you know, that has always been something interesting. There are some people who could do that in the parks as well.
Yeah, I'm not interested in those kind of person. You know,
yes,
I always tell them and just, I want to tell bad words when I see them.
It is interesting, but sometimes you have to...
You know, my mind just don't want to accept it.
Okay, Bita is not like the kind of person who would love to know about her future, but I was a kind of a person, mm-hmm. and still I am, mm-hmm. when someone comes to me and tells me that I could read your future, I could do this and that. It's at least interesting.
But it's scary, you know?
Yeah, it's
knowing
scary,
your future
yes.
or something.
It's interesting, and you know that you must not enter into that world.
Exactly. It took me time to understand that it's scary to know about your future, and it's not always a good thing to know about your future. You know, there was this movie, which was very much interesting. The woman, all of a sudden, got this talent of knowing about the future of everyone. And then it turned out to be a horrible thing that happened to her. It's scary to know about your future, but still there are many people all around the world who would do too much to get to know about their future, as if it's something very much interesting.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, this story always made me think about a question that there is a paradoxical, content between, future is made or we're going to make it. You know, what is
so
the story?
You have the problem.
So if there is a future telling or something like that, it means that, okay, there is a future that it cannot change it.
Mm-hmm. Today, we're just going to talk about fortune tellers and how they do it, why it happens to some people that they have this ability to tell the future of other people.
And even the religious area of this matter that we have in our history, that it happened a lot.
So after a short break, we're going to come back and talk about how it happens. It's something very much interesting,
what
guys.
What a big cliffhanger you
yes.
are.
So let's go for a short break and I'll be back in no time. Thank you for staying tuned.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
Welcome back, dear listeners of Back to Reality. In here, we're talking about something very much enchanting. And as kids and maybe as youngsters, we are so much interested in these sort of topics. Someone to come to us and tell us our future is going to be at least something that would give you some sort of, oh, I want to know that.
It's somehow related to the six synth. You know, in lower levels, there are some people that we have all visited around us who have a strong sixth sense.
Yeah.
For example, they see that I don't feel good about this travel.
Yeah.
I don't feel good about this person or this type of things.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that these are quite natural. There are some
people. Now, these are very much natural things. We can even do that. But there are some people.
No. Some people ask more, not ordinary people. For example, 1 in 20.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there are some people who get the feeling before anyone could feel that. But the higher level goes to those people who do some external acts in order to learn about the future.
Yeah.
They
and the black magic.
Connect with the supernatural.
Exactly, yeah.
Yes.
With the genes.
Yes, with devils even.
Yeah.
I heard very terrible things about these people.
Yeah, it has always been something very much enchanting and at the same time very much horrible and dangerous. And it makes you terrified.
They do very strange in order to get connected to those supernatural creatures.
Yeah, Bita, what are your ideas?
You know what? Supporting the ideas of Zainab, and I want to tell you that there is, first of all, there is a difference between prediction and this fortune telling.
Yeah.
For example, I know someone who is a psychologist, and he is amazing. You know, he will wonder you. Because he's
That's
like, he's like, okay, you are the amount of angle that your finger, for example, right now is on the.
Oh my God! Yeah,
is the sign that, for example, you are angry in some amount right now or something like that.
See these psychologist matters that recently has been so
somehow,
much.
But you know, it's always about the right now. It's sometimes about your future.
Yeah.
For example, that person see you and he will understand your future somehow in some amount because he has many experience or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I think, prediction. I mean, you see something and from these strong evidences.
But we're not
and
talking about prediction.
Logically. Yeah, I know.
And we're talking about fortune telling.
Exactly. I want to talk about fortune telling. And first of all, I want to talk about from religious point of view. From religious point of view, there were miracles in the history because other people had to understand that this person is different. This person is, a person who is sent from God. You know, no one else. And this person should be able to do something that other people can't do. And this is called mu'jiza or miracle, the history. And one of these miracles, even in Islam, was fortune-telling not fortune-telling exactly, somehow seeing the future.
Yeah.
You know what? Even in Quran, one of the miracles of Quran was at that time, the Muslims were aware of the, for example, fights. And in the verses, you know, for that time, it was a miracle or something. I do believe in that part.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, today,
it has become a business.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It has become a business.
They're trading with people's future.
Exactly.
And they sell it to other people on an amount which is going to make them wealthy and make the other person so much terrified of the future to come.
Exactly. And this is somehow superstitious part of the.
Yeah, of course.
You know, they might have information that are quite right. You know, these information are taken from the supernatural world. So you cannot say that these are superstitious. But you know, the case is that they are illegal information for us.
Mm-hmm. I can
understand
it. The
fact is this one. As just Asma said, you know, imagine that you go to a fortune teller and then she or he would tell
you. I won't go.
No, imagine I would go.
Yeah, yes, Asma, you can imagine that you go to him or her and then she would tell you that, okay, in 10 years, you would lose your mother, for example.
Oh, my God.
Or you would get divorced. You know, one of my friends, she used to visit lots of fortune tellers and they told her that you would marry to a man who has got divorced and has one child.
Wow.
You know, and she was still unmarried at that time. And she was constantly waiting for a marriage. The fortune teller told her that you would get divorced once and then you would get married to that man. You know, so she was constantly waiting for that moment to get married and then get divorced and then get married again to a man who has a child and is divorced too.
It's a disaster.
You know,
Come on, you know, in this case, I think she wanted to. No. She wanted this to happen
no,
to her.
No, we just talked about it, Bita. See, I do believe that. And we also have the story of the magicians in the Holy Book of Quran. There are some sort of people who would do many things. They even would deal with the devil in order to get some, as just Zainab said, some forbidden, forbidden news, forbidden knowledge, you know?
Yes, forbidden knowledge.
We could call it the forbidden knowledge, because it's only God who knows our future. Yes. And it's only Him who can unfold it for us. There is no other person unless they have some connection with some spiritual world.
Creatures. Maybe.
Yeah, and creatures. And we talked about it, the genes that we have it also in the Holy Book of Quran. They do magics. They would do some dirty, tricky things in order to get into the future of other people. And many times, those people would tell you things that are terribly true.
Yes.
So the only justification for that is that they have a connection to a forbidden knowledge that has been achieved by them through some dirty tricks.
But I think this forbidden knowledge, you know, will destroy them. Not only them, but also the people that will understand their future.
Yes.
Yes, also, exactly.
Also, just to shed light in that point as well, that in our narrations, in our religion, we have it that there were plenty much of saints and plenty much of holy people like Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, who had the forbidden knowledge, but they never shared it with anyone. And if they shared it, it was on some special occasions.
Yes.
That telling that would do some change. Telling that would, help a nation.
Even it was the God guidelines, you know.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
even God
true.
Has blamed those who go to fortune tellers.
Yeah.
You know, the 59th verse of Surah Al-An'am, God says that with Him are the keys to the unseen, and none knows it except Him alone.
Yeah.
You know, nothing is known by human beings except for God. No, and that is why God wants us not to be curious about our future.
Yeah.
No, God has, and again, we have in another narration from the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the prayer or the salat of whoever approaches a fortune teller and asks him about anything will not be accepted for 40 days and nights.
Oh my!
Can you see that?
Yeah.
Can you see that? The Holy Prophet has forbidden us. There is a danger in this action.
Let's go for a short break and we'll be back. Thank you for listening. What we're talking about right now is about fortune tellers, and that, yes, it exists. There are some people who could do that, but there are two types of that. We as Muslim people believe that the true source of those fortune tellers are Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, who are holy and they have a connection to Allah Himself. So they are the ones who know about our future. And there's no one who could unfold the unknown future for us except them. The other stuff that we hear and we might hear from people is just superstition, or if it's not superstition, it's some dirty magic that is going to affect our life and the life of other people who are around us. Another important thing is that there is no need to go for fortune tellers, since in Islam we have a way of living. God has told us if you practice generosity, then you're going to have a double of the things that you're giving to other people. If you practice this or that, you're going to have a happy future. If you practice charity works, if you spend much of money on people who are in need of that money, then God would save you from 70 disasters that might get into your way, into your life. If you do this or that, plenty much of goodness would happen.
You know,
and also we have it, if you do something bad, if you take the money of an orphan, then you're going to be retaliated. Yes, it's going to be like hell on earth.
Yes.
So there's no way to go for the fortune tellers because everything has been told to us. We have the Holy Book of Quran. It works like an instruction book. It has given us everything. Still, I know that the story of fortune telling is something pretty much interesting. And it's better for us to go for the word of Allah and Ahlul Bayt alayhim wasalam. I hope you enjoyed today's session. That's all the time that we've got for today's episode. Thank you for staying with us.
Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again.
Ya Allah,
Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again. Let us see daylight again, once again.
IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Limelight. Recent reports in scientific journals have shown that breathing polluted air in the European continent has reduced people's lives. Also, these reports have announced the premature death of about 1.3 million people in Europe. That is about 25% of the annual death of this continent is due to air pollution and cancer. Air pollution causes the increase of underlying diseases and cardiovascular problems, and based on new research conducted, air pollution is directly related to lung and also to other cancers. Pollution is reportedly linked to 10% of cancer cases in Europe. The main cause of air pollution in big cities is industry and factories, which play a big role in polluting the air by producing methane, carbon dioxide, fuel oil, and other polluting gases. Smoke and toxic substances produced by cars and vehicles also play an important role in air pollution in big cities. Concerning this issue, we have taken a look at some of the world's media. Please stay with us. The website of the European Environment Agency writes, according to a new report, pollutants in the environment and at the workplace, as well as some natural risks, have a huge impact on our health and in some cases lead to cancer. With nearly 3 million new patients and 1.3 million deaths each year across the European Union, cancer takes a huge toll on this society. The economic costs are also enormous, estimated at around 178 billion euros in 2018 alone. According to the European Environment Agency's study, most of these environmental and occupational cancer risks can be reduced by preventing pollution and changing behaviours. Reducing exposure to these risks offers an effective and cost-effective way of reducing cancer cases and associated deaths. For the first time, the European Environment Agency investigated the links between cancer and the environment, reviewing the latest scientific evidence on air pollution, radon, ultraviolet radiation, secondhand smoke, and chemicals. The report estimates that environmental and occupational risks lie behind around 10% of cancer cases in Europe. Virginijus Sinkevičius, the European Union Commissioner for the Environment, Fisheries and Oceans, says, "The European Environment Agency report highlights that too many cancer cases have an underlying environmental cause." Stella Kyriakides, the EU Commissioner for Health and Food Safety, says, "Every year in Europe, an estimated over 250,000 lives are lost to environmental-related cancer." The findings of the European Environment Agency show very clearly how the health of our planet and the health of our citizens are closely interlinked. We need to work with nature, not against it. The British daily The Guardian sheds more light on this issue. The Guardian reports, "Scientists have uncovered how air pollution causes lung cancer in groundbreaking research that promises to rewrite our understanding of the disease. The findings outline how fine particulates contained in car fumes awaken dormant mutations in lung cells and tip them into a cancerous state. The work helps explain why so many non-smokers develop lung cancer and is a wake-up call about the damaging impact of pollution on human health." Professor Charles Swanton of the Francis Crick Institute, who presented the findings at the European Society for Medical Oncology conference in Paris on Saturday, 10th of September, said, "The risk of lung cancer from air pollution is lower than from smoking, but we have no control over what we all breathe." He adds, "Globally, more people are exposed to unsafe levels of air pollution than to toxic chemicals in cigarette smoke, and these new data link the importance of addressing climate health to improving human health." Smoking remains the biggest cause of lung cancer, but outdoor air pollution causes about 1 in 10 cases in the United Kingdom, and an estimated 6,000 people who have never smoked in their lives die of lung cancer every year. Globally, about 300,000 lung cancer deaths in 2019 were attributed to exposure to fine particulate matter, known as PM2.5, contained in air pollution. However, the biological basis for how air pollution causes cancer has remained unclear. Unlike smoking or sun exposure, which directly cause DNA mutations linked to lung and skin cancer, air pollution does not cause cancer by triggering such genetic changes. Instead, those with non-smoking lung cancer tend to carry mutations that are also seen in healthy lung tissue. Small errors that we accumulate in our DNA throughout our lives and which normally remain innocuous. Professor Swanton, who is also Cancer Research UK's chief clinician, says, "Clearly, these patients are getting cancer without having mutations, so there's got to be something else going on." He adds, "Air pollution is associated with lung cancer, but people have largely ignored it because the mechanisms behind it were unclear." Financial Times also explains more about this story. The Financial Times reports, Two important environmental carcinogens, tobacco smoke and ultraviolet light, damage DNA and create mutations that generate tumours. But the researchers found no evidence that PM2.5 particles directly mutate DNA, which prompted them to look for a different explanation. They found that the particles caused inflammation, which activated pre-existing mutations in genes that drive the development of many lung cancers. Professor Charles Swanton says the mechanism we've identified could ultimately help us find better ways to prevent and treat lung cancer in never smokers. He adds, the next step is to discover why some lung cells with mutations become cancerous when exposed to pollutants, while others don't. Amelia Lim, another member of the Francis Crick Institute's research team, says the findings may be applicable to other cancers associated with air pollution, including mesothelioma and tumours of the throat and mouth. Amelia Lim adds, 99% of the world's population lives in areas which exceed annual World Health Organization's limits for PM2.5 particles, underlining the public health challenges posed by air pollution across the globe. Exposure to secondhand smoke may increase the overall risk for all cancers by up to 16% in people who have themselves never been smokers. Around 31% of Europeans are exposed to secondhand tobacco smoke, either at home or at work, during leisure, or in educational institutions or in public settings. Hans Breunings, the European Environment Agency's executive director, says, "We see the impact of pollution in our environment has on health and quality of life of European citizens, and that is why preventing pollution is so crucial to our well-being. Cutting pollution through the European Union Zero Pollution Action Plan and the Chemical Strategy for Sustainability, as well as strong implementation of other existing European Union policies, would go a long way to reduce cancer cases and deaths from cancer. This would be an effective investment in our citizens' well-being."
Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. This is IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.